Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Three things are inevitable: death, taxes, and falling. And while we get better at most things as we age, we get worse at falling. Children know falling is a part of everyday life, and they rarely get hurt. But adults, we tense up, our bodies go rigid, we put our hands out and often break our wrists. Or we smash kneecaps, hit our heads, do all sorts of damage. Suppose we told you there's a right way to fall.
You can learn how to fall better so your landing reduces your risk of injury. The urban legend of drunks in a car crash walking away with fewer injuries does have an element of truth. Being loose when you fall makes a difference. Here with tips on how to fall better is Dr. Jessica Schwartz, a physical therapist who trains athletes and people with prosthetic limbs to fall without hurting themselves. Her advice is featured in a New York Times article, The Right Way to Fall. Dr. Schwartz is also a national spokesperson for the American Physical Therapy Association and joins us from her practice in New York City.
Jessica, thanks for coming on Take Care.
Of course, and thank you so much for having me, ladies.
Falling by nature is unpredictable. We're up and then we're down. So how realistic is it to think that we can control our fall before we go down?
Well, you know, I say this is all situational dependent, right? So, you know, people ask me, what's the best way to fall? And in the Times article, we do talk about the number one thing being to protect your head, regardless of any situation. But falls can happen in all sorts of scenarios. You know, we know that the leading cause of emergency department visits, hospital admissions, unintentional deaths by older adults all come from falls. So, you know, we really focus on piecing this out as physical therapists, looking at the entire person. So if you have a fall in your home versus, you know, God forbid, falling outside, you know, and getting struck by a car or something like that, those are different things. But there are a few central tenets that we do and we talk about when educating folks from the pediatric population all the way to the geriatric population. And that's really encouraging lifelong fitness and really working with a physical therapist or exercise specialist to really address your needs as we age. You know, and I'm talking about from 30s and on. We want to start with a strong base and build from there. And there's no quick fix, and we're okay with that. But we know with increased fitness comes with increased reaction time and ability to react. So there's a multitude of possibilities, but
we can
go anywhere you'd like to go.
So let's start with what we're doing wrong. In other words, we fall, we don't predict it. What do people normally do? What's the common mistake that people make when they fall?
So the common mistake, I would say, is twofold. One, they don't protect their head. We know that concussion and traumatic brain injury, concussion is a brain injury, are actually the number one cause by falls. So that's something to keep in mind. And we have to remember that, you know, gelatin substance between our ears essentially makes us who we are, from our personality to our family life and professional life. So number one is to protect the head. The other mistake, and it's, you know, it's a reactive thing, is that we tend to diagnose FOOSH injuries. So FOOSH stands for fall on outstretched hand. So we kind of do the Superman thing where we, you know, get rigid and put our hand either in front or behind us, and then we land with all of our might on our wrist. And then we tend to get wrist fractures, and that tends to be pretty detrimental to people's functioning. So I always say, you know, what separates us from the apes are our ability to use our hands and thumbs and our minds. So we want to make sure we protect our hands when we fall.
Aren't there times, though, when we put our hand out and it feels reflective? It doesn't feel like a choice. And by breaking our wrist, we're not smashing our head. I mean, not that you have a choice as you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't do that, wouldn't you just fully go flat out? And your head seems to have a greater chance of hitting the pavement or wherever you are.
You're so spot on there. So we have two different scenarios, right? We have a scenario where we can anticipate a fall. So you see something coming and you know that you're going to go down. So you can have that situational awareness. You can kind of assess, kind of like the Matrix style. It's like slow motion people kind of verbalize when I'm taking a subjective history. But you can kind of see what's happening, you know, as you're falling. So you can, you know, instead of leaning towards the campfire, you can lean towards the trailer at a campsite. Or instead of grabbing onto furniture that is unsecured, you can hopefully land on the sofa. So that's one thing. When an unexpected fall, I think like you were talking about, is absolutely, you always want to, if you had a choice, you'd break a wrist over, you know, fracturing your head or getting a concussion or a traumatic brain injury. But, the, you know, the ideal is, and we kind of talk about this I think as long as a conversation is happening with the public, I think it's a fantastic thing. So we learn about how to drive in rainy situations or on black ice, that you skid into the black ice, right? You don't reflectively want to pull away. The same thing with a fall that you can expect. You always kind of want to roll into the fall. And our glute, our butt is essentially our hopefully our cushion, some more than others out there. But you want to kind of roll into that. So you protect the head, hopefully land on your glute and the larger part of your back area. Just kind of like you see the stuntmen do. There's actual a right way to fall if you can anticipate it.
So when you say you roll into the fall, you're tucking in your head? Are you raising your shoulders? Take us through the step-by-step process. If we could fall in slow motion and control every single move we make, what would we do ideally?
Well, the number one is you want to see if you can slow the rates of going down on the ground. So if obviously you're slipping on black ice, that's a completely different animal than tripping on your shoelace in the street. And that kind of comes with situational awareness. So we want to make sure, hey, if we're falling in the house, do you know that the wall unit is not secured to the wall? And that's huge because we see so many secondary injuries and even deaths from falls from folks just not having the situational awareness and then panicking. So again, the more we talk about these things, the more we can prepare for them and rehearse and so on and so forth, we kind of avoid something called, we call in physical therapy, fear avoidance. If somebody's back hurts or they have pain with stairs, they tend to avoid those things. So if somebody has a fear of falling, they tend to avoid movement. And with an anticipatory fall, you want to slow yourself down. Using a wall is fantastic. If you can, throw yourself up or fall against a wall, fantastic, because then you can kind of almost lower yourself down. That's one thing. If you're really about to fall, and when I was interviewed for the Times article, the author actually had a friend that actually was getting hit by a car and actually jumped into the car. And that was her like brother's story or something like that. He's like, oh, I knew how to fall. So he actually rolled into the car and used the momentum of the car. So there's a variety of things. But if you can kind of roll into the fall, protect the head, which would be tucking your chin in, covering your head, and kind of rolling into a ball, that's the ideal situation. A, you're protecting your organ. B, you'll hopefully be able to roll as opposed to falling on one specific part, like a kneecap or your wrist. Because, that's when things fracture and break, and that becomes a very ugly situation for folks.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Raff.
And I'm Lita Lowen.
Our guest today is Dr. Jessica Schwartz. She's a physical therapist who trains athletes and people with prosthetic limbs to fall without hurting themselves, among other things. And we're getting a step-by-step tutorial on how to fall and sustain the least amount of damage. And I just know that some of the people in my own family, when they knew I was going to be talking to you, had recent experiences with falling.
Of course.
And they just are convinced they're really, truly, while it would be good that we could take all the steps you're saying, it just seems unrealistic. But you were separating like black ice from tripping over your shoelace. And I imagine I just wonder how many seconds are we talking about? You're saying black ice because it's hidden and we've had no warning. But in your house, will you have enough time to avoid the wall unit that you're describing that you know is not nailed into the wall? So you must have studied this. Are there 3 seconds that you have? And if you're training somebody, how do you train somebody to make use of those 3 seconds when truly I would think everyone would agree that, as Linda said right up front, you're standing up and the next thing you know, you're on the ground?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. A lot of it's reactionary. So if we step on a nail, it's actually a reaction for us to extend our opposite leg and lift our foot up and go and throw our back into extension. It's an actual primitive reflex that we have as humans, and that's what makes us so neat. So what I do not advise, we don't start throwing ourselves on the ground to practice falling. But what we do encourage as physical therapists are progressive exercise programs focusing on moderate to high intensity balance exercises. And this appears to be one of the most effective interventions to prevent falls. And I'm talking from, age 30 on to 90. And the numbers, like your family, stated, it's pretty much inevitable. And we have to embrace that. We have to have these conversations as part of a you know, a normal well check with your physician. I even encourage, you know, I'm biased, of course, as a physical therapist, but going in for a yearly, like annual checkup to check on your balance, check on your cardiovascular functioning, you know, get a well check by a physical therapist, because we encourage function and movement in your environment. And this is where the falls come through. But we do know that there is a minimum dosing of exercise to protect an older adult against falls, and that's actually 50 hours. And we're looking at minimum eight weeks for three times a week of training. And that has to be tough. It has to be progressive. It has to be salient to the patient. It has to be important that they want to change to commit to something, you know, for lifelong health. And we know that, you know, 30% of folks 65 and over are going to have a fall this year. And as we have more geriatric population than pediatric population in 2030, we know that 50% of people over 80 are going to fall this year. So one half of 80-year-olds plus are going to fall. So we really have to encourage this from, you know, the third and fourth decade and on. We do make the same relative changes as we age in strength. So just because you can't lift a 250-pound barbell, and that might be intimidating to many, does it mean that you can't change your strength goals by 25% in 6 months?
So
we start to work in pieces like that.
So we're down on the ground. We do not want to get up and fall again. Mm-hmm. How do you best get up and avoid hitting my head? All the things you've tried so hard to avoid in that first fall, how do you avoid it in the second fall by getting up properly?
Yeah, so getting up is a huge deal for many. The number one, you've got to assess yourself. You know, as grown-ups, we are embarrassed about falling. Our number one goal as grown-ups are not to pee our pants and to fall down in public. So once we kind of get over the being embarrassed, taking a deep breath, assess yourself. Make sure you have no bodily injuries, fractures, pain, bleeding, things like that. And once you're there, you can start to go from a log roll, so rolling on your side left and right. That can be practiced in, you know, on the floor very easily. And then the goal is to kind of get into quadruped. So on all fours, we go back to being, you know, babies. So we go from quadruped to tall kneel, which I call the proposal position, you know, and then kind of walking ourselves up with our hands as opposed to pulling on furniture to standing up. And then try and do this next to a wall if possible. Crawl over to something that, you know, if you do lose your balance again or have to fall, you can lower yourself down to.
Dr. Jessica Schwartz is a physical therapist who trains athletes and people with prosthetic limbs to fall without hurting themselves. Her advice is featured in a New York Times article, The Right Way to Fall. Dr. Schwartz, thank you for joining us today on Take Care.
Thank you so much for having me, ladies. Have a great day.